Today on Path of Grace.
In a nutshell, we find this apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle of grace, encouraging us to practice grace toward one another rather than to simply revel in and celebrate the grace that God has poured out on us. He's telling us to let the same grace God has poured on you and me through Christ pour out of our lives into the lives of the people Father has placed around us. Just for fun, let me read those first four verses of this chapter from the little paraphrase called The Message. It's better than the paraphrase I made up just a few moments ago. It says this: if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Wow. Strong words, but beautiful words, aren't they? If you've been with me in earlier studies of Philippians, you remember that Paul had been talking about suffering, the suffering he had been dealing with, the suffering he had been facing while he was writing this letter from prison. But he wanted his readers to know that regardless of how miserable his circumstances may have been, it was all for the good. It all served a purpose. Father was working something out in it. It was kind of Paul living out what he wrote about in Romans chapter 8, 28. We know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Paul knew that as a result of his circumstances, even though they were miserable and painful, he was reaching people he would have never reached otherwise with the evangel, the gospel, the good news. And so as he talked about his suffering, he reminded his readers that the suffering of this life is temporary. And you and I need to be reminded of that frequently, don't we? That the things we deal with in this present evil age, this is not all there is. This is not where the story is going to end. And the fact that we face suffering shouldn't take us by surprise. Paul wanted us to know that. He said that just as it's been granted for us to believe in Christ, it's also been granted to us to suffer for His sake in this life, in this age. But then he also said that the suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that awaits us. My friend, I don't know what hurtful things you have been experiencing. I don't know what painful circumstances you are living in right now or what you might experience in the future down the road. But whatever it is, it's temporary. It's only one chapter in the story, and the chapters in the book come to an end. And at the end of the ages, what we're going to enter into is something glorious that is so amazing that the suffering of this present age isn't even worth comparing to it. But as we're living in this time of suffering, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to interact with one another? Well, Paul, as we move into chapter 2, right after talking about the suffering and all of these sort of things, he then says this, knowing that all of his readers were going to experience difficulty just living in this world. He says, if, that's an important word, if then any exhortation is in Christ, in other words, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort, any encouragement in Christ, let me ask you, is there any? Is there any comfort, any encouragement, any consolation that we find in Christ? The answer is yes. He goes on and he says this, if then any exhortation is in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercies, we'll come back to that word bowels in a moment. But first of all, did you hear all the if statements? He's trying to get me and you to think a little bit and to remember what we have in Christ, what was demonstrated for us through Christ, what was done for us by Christ. Now, in Young's literal translation, that word bowels seems kind of weird here, doesn't it? Well, that's because when Young's literal translation was put together, the word was used a little bit differently than we typically use it today. Today, when we talk about bowels, it usually has to do with simply going to the bathroom. And if you really feel something in your bowels, you're talking about maybe getting a stomach bug or something of that nature. But I want you to think about emotions. deep emotions, love, sorrow, grief, heartache, homesickness. Think about being apart from someone you love desperately. Man, when it really gets to you, where are you feeling it? You are feeling it deep inside of your guts, in your bowels. And that's kind of what Paul is getting at here. Do you think, do you believe that Christ has deep love for you? Do you think that our Lord and our Savior has deep emotional feelings and desires for you? You betcha. Those desires, his love for us, took him all the way to the cross. And so in this verse, we have all of these uses of the word if. And as we read them, we have to say, well, these things are true. And if we believe they are true, then what? Well, Paul shares something with us in verses 2 through 4. He says, here's what. Since these things are true, here is what you need to do. As we're living in this age where there is suffering and difficulty, he says this in verses 2 through 4. Fulfill ye my joy. In other words, make me happy by doing something, that ye may mind the same thing, having the same love of one soul, minding the one thing, nothing in rivalry or vainglory, but in humility of mind, one another counting more excellent than yourselves, each not to your own look ye, but each also to the things of others. Now, let me paraphrase that for you, because that was kind of rough reading in this old translation. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, guys and girls, if you really believe what you say you believe about Jesus, then more than anything, please give me the joy of knowing that you brothers and sisters, you saints in Philippi, will strive to live in unity with one another as believers, not fighting and not bickering. Don't just be living for self, but make sure that you're considering others as well. After all, Christ certainly has considered you and me and all of us. He's saying, be of one accord, be of one mind. Extend the same mercy and love to one another that the Lord extends to you. Focus on living for those around you rather than simply living a life of me, 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 me. Life is hard enough without that sort of thing. But another way to put it in one sentence is love your neighbor as you love yourself, or love one another. Now, we read words like these, we hear words like these, and something stirs within us, doesn't it? It should. And we have to wonder, how beautiful would it be if, regardless of past disagreements, perhaps present disagreements, and including some doctrinal disagreements, after all, none of us have it all figured out. We're all learning and growing, right? Regardless of past hurts, perhaps even regardless of scars or wounds that we've inflicted on one another, that happens in life, doesn't it? We each say and do things that we really regret, sometimes to the people we love the most. And how beautiful would it be if, regardless of all those things, you and I would put the past behind us and really, truly seek to love one another and have the same concern for one another that we have for ourselves, not just to live for our own self-interest, but also for the interests of others. Think about it. If what we see in Christ is love, mercy, grace, compassion, incredible patience, and servanthood, and placing the needs of others above his own convenience, I mean, think about it. How convenient must it have been to be beaten and nailed to a cross? Probably not pleasant, much less convenient, right? But if we see these things in Christ, and if we call him our Lord, Paul is really encouraging us then to seek to extend those very Jesus-y things toward one another. And he says, if you do that, you sure will be making me happy. He says, fulfill ye my joy. In other words, fill me up with joy by extending grace and mercy to one another, by caring for one another, making sure you aren't just looking out for yourself. So in a nutshell, we find this apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle of grace, encouraging us to practice grace toward one another rather than to simply revel in and celebrate the grace that God has poured out on us. He's telling us to let the same grace God has poured on you and me through Christ pour out of our lives into the lives of the people Father has placed around us. He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may mind the same thing, having the same love of one soul, minding the one thing, nothing in rivalry, nothing in vainglory, but in humility of mind, one another, counting more excellent than yourselves, each not to your own look ye, but also to the things of others. Just for fun, let me read those first four verses of this chapter from the little paraphrase called The Message. It's better than the paraphrase I made up just a few moments ago. It says this: if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Wow. Strong words, but beautiful words, aren't they? Agree with each other. Love each other. Wait a minute. Agree with each other? Paul, are you out of your mind? What if those people don't see things the way I see them? What if their doctrine is a little bit sketchy? Agree with them? How can I agree with that? Maybe Paul is saying that at times we have to agree to disagree and make love a greater priority and compassion a greater priority than winning a doctrinal debate. After all, think about it, my friend. How much did you know when you first became a believer? How much did you know when you first began to study? Aren't you glad there were some people around you who were patient with you, compassionate toward you, and who extended grace to you? Again, none of us have it all figured out. We need to agree that none of us have it all figured out and commit to loving one another, to be deep-spirited friends, Paul says. Let me read this entire paraphrase again because this is such good stuff. He says this: if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life,
has it?
Yeah. If being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Convicted yet? Encouraged? I am. My name is James Flanders, and I am a very slow learner. And I confess that much of my life has been so spent with studying, debating, and sometimes arguing, even about the grace of God, that I've forgotten what it means to pour the same grace out toward others that Father has poured out on me. Especially when it comes to those who don't like me so much. But you know what? If we reserve love and grace and mercy and compassion only for those who like us or agree with us, would it be love, mercy, grace, and compassion at all? Think about it. And thank you so much for your love and your patience with me. And praise God for His indescribable grace. Let's pray for one another that we would truly learn to be instruments of grace, that we would yield to His leading daily, to pour grace out, especially into the lives of those who have yet to taste it at all. And for our brothers and sisters we interact with every single day. Father, help us. Help us to be instruments of grace, that people would experience your love, your mercy, your compassion, and your patience as they interact with us. Father, we are so thankful for your graciousness that's poured out on us so greatly, so abundantly, and may we never withhold it from any others. May we live out these things that Paul said would have brought him great joy, and may it bring us great joy to do these things. I pray these things in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, who taught us to love one another. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.